Does everyone know what time it is? It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and her friends.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where things are about to get emotional. I'm Jasmine.
Oh, I thought Andrew was going to go first. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Megan.
I'm Andrea.
And I'm with the gals from Crying on Main Street, a female-led podcast. Mm. So we're all about female empowerment here. Yeah, you two have a fellow theme park-related podcast. So how would you describe it?
Basically, Megan and I met via, or is it via or via? Via?
It's like
via?
Caramel caramel.
Yeah. Okay.
I say via. No, I'm kidding.
Via goth Instagram, I guess you would call it, gothstagram. So we both are like artists and like cemeteries and death and Disney. I mean, we don't like death. We do not like death. We do not endorse it. We like the macabre. But we're both really into Disney, and I saw Megan, you didn't even ask me, you asked what the podcast was, but I'm just giving you our origin story. So one day Megan randomly posts something about sea in her Instagram stories, of course, the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, and I was like, damn, that's a deep cut for goth Instagram. And I was like, okay, we need to start a podcast. We need to become friends immediately and start a podcast.
Yeah.
And as we were talking, we realized we both would always say, oh my God, I saw that and I started crying. Or I saw the fireworks. Wishes makes me cry. Like the lights made me cry in this parade, something. So that's how it came to be. We used to be called Crying at Disney. Now we're Crying on Main Street. And we talk... Yeah, we talk history, we talk, you know, hot animatronics, Disney daddies. It's gotten real weird over the past year.
We've evolved from, like, we're serious, we love Disney history, to like, oh my God, the bone daddies. We love the Disney daddies. Like,
it's tongue-in-cheek. It's definitely tongue-in-cheek, because... We, like, made fun of the Bone Daddy merchandise in one episode, and then people would start tagging us in it, so we became, like, the Bone Daddy people, and now we just have, like, taken that and expanded it to, like, Toad Daddy and, like, Headless Daddy. It's something, but we definitely still do history. It's definitely still a history-based podcast. We just are very snarky and sassy and like to keep it comedic.
Yeah.
Emotionally charged.
Very emotionally charged show, I'd say. I mean, I feel like we're speaking to a lot of people who have not been able to find, like, their avenue of, like, what they can relate to, because I feel like the Disney goth community is, it's not limited, it's just it's a very tight-knit large amount of people, but we kind of have that, like, social displacement where even though we are Disney goths in unison, we are still the other from the main goth community. Does that make sense?
I mean, and I would say Disney goth, again, like, tongue-in-cheek.
Yes.
Because, I don't walk around saying, hi, I'm Andrea, I am a goth. Like, you know, we're alternative women. We have tattoos. We like the macabre, you know, and we have that sort of counterculture element to us. And, you know, it's not the only thing we talk about. We don't start our podcast with, you know, the ghost host spiel. Like, we're not like... That's not our vibe. It's just we are a Disney history podcast through the lens of two emotionally charged, small, Italian-American, tattooed women that, you know, like men with tattoos and black hair. And, like, you know, I don't know. I just described what I like.
It's a very specific box.
Megan's more into, like, the Dreamfinder vibe.
Dreamfinder's my man.
Dream daddy.
You know, I actually... married Dreamfinder. Actually Figment.
And she has purple hair, so it's perfect. It's incredible.
Perfect match.
So I feel like we bring a lot of people together, and it's like, you know, we're not for a certain kind of person, because you can listen to our podcast and not be into theme parks and learn a little bit about it if you're just into artistry or, you know, because we're coming at it from an artistic perspective. We're coming at it from a female perspective, from the perspective of people that love history, that love artistry and theme parks, and from the perspective of alternative women. So we have a lot of little bits that go into making our bizarre podcast.
I feel like we're very cut from the same cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was history, just going to say, I feel like we're of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I'm like a fairy, like a child's imagination of a fairy godmother. Like, that's my aesthetic. My friend Jenny says I look like an Easter egg.
Oh, my
God.
But
it's very, like, I love cemeteries, too. Like, it's a very, like...
Yeah.
Very simpatico. And a lot of my friends I would consider Disney goths. So, like, I think I'm a Disney goth at heart. I just love, like, pink and purple. And
yeah,
purple.
Listen. Which is still goth as hell.
I love pink.
It's super goth.
Listen, we're not here to be gatekeepers. Again, I would only ever refer to myself as a goth or Disney goth when I'm joking about it. Not to say that it's wrong for anyone to do that. Like, you can call yourself whatever you want. I'm not personally not into labels. And I think everybody is welcome, should be welcome everywhere. And we welcome everyone. And we welcome you. You are an honorary Disney goth.
Oh, yay.
Welcome to our club.
I do. I have pink and orange hair right now. So, I'm very,
nice.
Very, like a pastel goth. So Disney goth, I like that you guys use that in a tongue-in-cheek way. So it's kind of just an alternative community. I feel like a lot of both of our listeners are people who they feel a little bit like outside the norm. Like a lot of us, we like theme parks, artistry, and we're into obsessing about things.
Yes.
And especially this is like a very, not to get like, I'm going to go down this road though, like a male-dominated topic. Mm-hmm. Like it's off. So it's just nice that we can all get together and geek out and like have our Disney daddies and our, you know, just enjoy everything that is theme parks and nerddom and artistry and all that jazz.
Yeah, and I like also the fact, like, actually this is our first time going on a podcast together, like another podcast.
Yeah.
But I like that we're both of our podcasts are like women Disney history theme park podcasts, but instead of competing with each other, we're talking to each other and we're becoming friends. It's happening. Yes. I've declared it. We will be eating at the Earl of Sandwich in the future.
Yes.
I'm so ready.
That is the unofficial, official place of crying on Main Street.
Yeah, we're always like, to all our guests, we're always like, if you ever want to go to the Earl of Sandwich,
let us know.
The one in the Philadelphia airport?
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm from Philly and I constantly I've talked about it multiple times on our podcast. I love that you know that.
Now you're really our friend.
Yeah.
Bonding over Philadelphia. So what would you two consider your home Disney park? Like, what's the one you are the most familiar with?
Disney World, Epcot, Magic Kingdom. Yeah.
See, I mean, I'm more of a Disneyland girl, but
now that I live in LA, I have always said Disney World is my home park because I'm from Philly, and that was the first park I went to. The first few times I went was Disney World. Favorite park is Epcot. But now that I live in LA, I'm way more familiar with Disneyland. So I'm kind of between homes, you know? It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm.
You have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I guess so. Like Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah.
Wait, is that Hannah Montana?
Or not Miley. We're just talking about her.
Hannah Montana. Nobody can say it. Hanny Montana.
Yeah, I recently went to, a couple months ago, Disney World, and I would now say Epcot. Disneyland and Epcot are tied for my two favorite parks.
Oh, yeah. Epcot's incredible.
It was under construction when I was there, and it still was my favorite out of all of them.
What charmed you?
I obviously would prefer the original journey, but, like, I liked what I saw. Like, I know everyone who's been on the original was like, how could you? I'm like, it was cute.
It's cute.
It gets a worse rap than it deserves. Mm-hmm. It's not good. It's not a good ride, but I like that there's a little animatronic dragon on it.
Yeah.
Everyone who works in World Showcase is good looking. I fell in love every 5 seconds.
Yeah. It's true.
I was like, do you want to get married? Like,
that's incredible. Yeah, no, I'm really happy to hear that Epcot is your favorite, even though it's massively under construction right now. Because, like, I only started to go to Disneyland, like, 3 years ago. And, I mean, it's changed my world. It's changed my perspective. Yeah. My whole lens of Disney is different. But, I mean, I'm at Disney World every 6 months or less.
Yes.
So it's like my park. It's my place. Yeah.
My goal is to go at least once a year now. I hadn't gone since 2013. And then I went. And now my goal is at least once a year.
Gotta do it.
I don't have the stamina for that. Disney World is like, whew. I mean, I love it. Yeah. I love it. But Disneyland, you go for a few hours, go to the Earl of Sandwich, you know, put your feet up. Disney World, it's like you gotta squeeze every moment out of the day, and
people are grumpier at Disney World. Like Disneyland, I feel like people, because Disneyland, most people, 70% of the people who are there, they can come back in a month. Disney World, it's like we saved up for 5 years for this, and we have to get every ounce of fun. And I've been with my family for 6 days in a small room.
I feel that. I've done that.
Excuse me, you're in the way of my vacation. Like,
no. That's a lot of it. You know, it's really upsetting that Disney World had, like, just only 5 years ago when me and my husband started going, like, a lot together. Like, we've been together, like, 10 years, and we've been going with my family for 10, like, I've been going forever, but with him, it's been a very different experience since he loves the parks like I do. And, like, just within the past 5 years, it's just turned into, like, pandemonium. It's because, you know, everyone's got FOMO and social media makes it crazier. Like, it's just the place to be. Like, right now, Disney World is, like, where everyone's going.
Yeah.
And it's turned into a monster. And it's kind of scary.
Well, especially with FOMO, like, it's that, like, I can't even enjoy myself. I have to get a picture with this ice cream. I have to buy these ears, take a picture in front of the castle. Like, this trip I only took, like, 2 pictures a day, which is, you know, was very difficult for me because I love taking pictures at the parks. But I was just like, I'm just going to enjoy and look like crap the whole time.
Yeah.
It's a decision.
It's a decision. And, like, I learned now after going to both Disneyland and Disney World, I kind of dress very casual because it's, like, going home for me. Like, but Disneyland's an occasion. I have to look perfect. Yes. My face needs to be mask on. But, like, Disney World, I can smell a little bit if it gets hot. Like, it's fine because everyone else smells. But, like, it's a casual place for me where Disneyland's, like, magic. I need to look perfect. And it's tough.
Yeah.
It does feel like there's almost a dress code for Disneyland. Like, okay, I have to wear this, have to look good, have to wear my dress and my uncomfortable shoes.
The uncomfortable shoe part, definitely.
We all should just go and wear our pajamas and just be like, we're here.
Right?
I have Mickey pants on right now, so.
Oh, I love it. I have a Princess and the Frog picture to my left. I have a Mary Poppins picture to my right and Princess Leia and the Matterhorn.
Oh, my gosh.
I have Mickey underwear on.
Oh. Good. So sexy. So what are your favorite things to do in the parks? Not just rides. Like, when you go to the parks, what do you love to do?
You answer first.
Well, I'm an old lady. I just get tired really easily now. So I'm very much of the mind that I could just sit in the town square. Is it called the town square? I don't even know
Do you mean like Main Street?
Obviously I know what Main Street
but
is.
Like,
but I mean like
the front part of Main Street?
Yeah, like the front part. Like near the train.
That'll be town square.
Yeah, the town square. I could just sit there, watch the Dapper Dans, you know, just be like very like relaxed. Like, I can be fine with that. Obviously I like to eat stuff. A lot of times I don't even like go on rides, honestly, when I go to Disneyland, because, you know, as an annual pass holder, sometimes you just want to enjoy the environment of being there, you know, or just like, oh, I have to go buy this thing and then I'm going to like walk around a little bit and take pictures, not necessarily of myself, but of the lands, you know?
that's the AP life of like, oh, that line's 30 minutes. Shh, I'll go on it next time.
I don't have time for that. I can't stand on my feet for that long.
I wish I had that.
Well, you're an annual pass holder now.
Yeah, I'm an annual pass holder for Disney World, but like, you can't just be like, I'll do that next time, because like, the line is always tremendous. I mean, the Haunted Mansion is consistently like 45 minutes now, which was unheard of. And so now I'm kind of like, I try to just wait on a line and for whatever attraction that I want to go on if I'm in Disney World. But if I'm in Disneyland, I'll lounge more. Because like Disneyland gives you flexibility to lounge, whereas Disney World is kind of like, gotta get there, gotta do it now. Like, it's a different pace, like, for each park. So I guess for Disney World, I'm always trying to see what Fast Pass I can get. If it's Epcot, I'm always in the World Showcase. So things like that. I mean, it's so different. Like, I also have only been to Disneyland a handful of times, so whenever I am there, I'm like, I need to go on the Haunted Mansion. I need to go on Pirates. Back and forth forever.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Disneyland Pirates. I went on both twice, like, in a row, which is weird for me because I usually am like, oh, if I do two rides in a day, that's crazy. But I went on, like, twice for each, and I was just like, these are so good.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, Disneyland, obviously, the experience is so spectacular for the attractions, whereas, like, you know, I mean, I'm biased. I like the Disney World Haunted Mansion more than the Disneyland Haunted Mansion. It's fine. You can burn me at the stake for that one.
That one's split down the middle, I feel like. That one's not right? So, like, it's not like Pirates where it's like, oh, obviously Disneyland's
cool. Oh, well, yeah, definitely. Saying
that. But, like, I think that one's just kind of, that's a little more ambiguous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people go in between. But mm-hmm. Yeah, like, so I'm in between right now with both parks where, like, I gotta constantly be on an attraction. I'll eat the food, of course, and I'll hang out and I'll sit and relax, but I'm more of, like, I'm gonna go on this attraction kind of person, whereas, like, I usually go with my family and they're like, I just wanna sit.
Disneyland is less of, like, a commitment to, like, you can go from Fantasyland to Tomorrowland pretty easily, but, like, Disney mm-hmm. World, it's like, once you leave that land, you're not going back.
Yeah.
Like, it's too far.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm too tired yes. for it.
I was doing, like, 20,000 steps. I'm like, who am I?
Yeah.
Who is this person?
Oh my gosh. It's overwhelming. It's crazy over there. I mean, now that I'm older, I cannot do it in the summer. I mean, my next mm-hmm. scheduled visit is for August for my mom's 50th. But, oof. August is yeah. sinful.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. I mean, I was there in September, and I couldn't even walk from Spaceship Earth to the American Pavilion without hiding in every store I could find. It's so hard. Yeah, it's crazy.
Late January was a really nice time to go because mm-hmm. it was like in the 60s, which, you know, being from California, that was very cold.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that.
Yeah. I was there. When was I there? February, mid-February I went, and oh my God, it was like 30 degrees.
Ooh.
I bought a towel to use as a scarf. It was so cold.
It's wild.
I had a sweater. I was ready to go out in the snow, and it was in Florida. It's crazy.
Okay, so this week's episode is about I titled it Screaming at the Parks, Getting Scared by Non-Threatening Elements at the Park. So if you've listened for a long time, I think you've realized over the year that I am terrified of everything. So this is going to be a fun one.
I'm so excited.
So these are things that are – so, like, I was going to put Harold on the list, but that's meant to be threatening. So yeah. These are things that are – they seem friendly, but they are not.
Yes.
So I was going to start with something that I think is a lot of people are afraid of. It's a small world.
Oh.
I can see that. A lot of people like to throw it shade and be scared of it because they're beady eyes.
I like it.
I love it, yeah.
I love it, but I always, when I was a kid, the boat, do you know, like, the boat exits?
Mm-hmm.
Those always freaked me out because I didn't know, like, where do they go?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if other children were as thoughtful as I was, but you don't know what could be back there. See, things you probably never thought about, boat exits.
I think about it a lot because I am extremely claustrophobic and agoraphobic. Mm. So I'm always like, this is like going to be a rough episode for us because we both have like bad anxiety. So I'm like, oh, honey, I thought about it. But like when I see things like that, I'm like, oh, good. There's a place where they're going to take us off the ride if they have to. That's good. It's safe. Because if you think about like in Pirates with that scene with the big pirate ship and
that's on my list.
I can't even say it. Barbossa. Yeah. Like, where do you get off the boat there? Honey, if you need to exit that boat, there's nowhere to go.
Have you ever seen the evacs for that?
Yeah. And it,
yeah,
it's very stressful to look at.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I thought I was like alone in this. So I'm like, I'm afraid, but I'm good. I mean, it's sad, but like, I'm glad to know I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Oh no, absolutely not. We had an episode, walk-offs about
yeah,
walk-offs.
That was one of the first ones we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably like not a very good episode because it was like a year ago. But
yeah, I think we started around the same time. We started the last week of February 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, we started March 2019. Oh, wow.
We're born at the same time. We actually recorded a few episodes before we ever released one because our first few were trash. They were not good.
Well, yeah, we recorded like on my phone on the carpet. And like all you could hear is like all the echo in the room. I was like, okay. And of course, that's the one everyone listens to first.
Oh no. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Small World, I feel more comfortable on because you can actually see like the exit paths like next to, there are usually like places to walk on the sides.
Yeah. And you're never far from, it's not like Disney World where you're far from the you're like in the middle of the water like there. I think mm-hmm. at almost any point you could just jump off if you had to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, yeah. For me, Small World feels like a pretty safe ride. That being so wild. That being said, I've read the stories of like the people that have gotten stuck on there and they like didn't communicate with them and people were jumping out of the boats and like feeling crazy and like, yeah, that stresses me out. I think getting stuck on a ride in general stresses me out, but Small World, I love.
I know my sister's friend got stuck on that ride and they turned off the audio, but the dolls were still going. So they were like doing the sounds and it just like she can't go on that ride anymore because the dolls don't personally scare me, but I could see how like if the sound was off, that would be very disturbing.
Yeah.
Just like little animated Chucky dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And their yarn hair that grows.
It grows?
What?
Yeah, so when they implant their yarn hair, it slowly gets like rejected out of their head. So their hair technically grows and they have to trim it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. My God. I'm like kind of grossed out right now.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm fine with
that. That was crazy.
I'm a Small World stan. You guys are telling me this stuff and I'm like, it makes me love it even more.
Oh, it's one of my favorite rides. I love that ride. Is just such a like classic.
It's perfect.
Fun ride. My coworker, he has a young daughter and he's like, I went on it 8 times in a row.
Oh my God.
And
it's
that amazing. Young daughter is me.
Yes.
What's
your, do you have any evac stories for any rides?
Oh no.
Oh, I wish.
I
have one.
I pray every time I go on a ride. I'm like,
I got stuck on Snow White.
Woo!
On the part right before the queen turns around.
Oh my God, stop. Really? That's so cool.
And I closed my eyes on that ride and I had to open them obviously. And it luckily we were so terrified the whole time she was just going to turn around.
Yeah.
and like we thought as we were walking, because you have to walk through that whole ride as you evac.
Yeah.
And we thought like she was gonna come out of like her little spot. Oh, she luckily did it, but like I was, and there's like actually like pretty close to the track, like the part with the I don't know if it's crocodiles or alligators, but like they're really close to the track and you kind of have to step over them, and it was just I thought I was gonna like have a heart attack. It was terrifying.
That is so stressful. I pray every single time I'm on Haunted Mansion to get walked off. I pray every single time.
Oh my God. I would be so stressed.
One time also I got walked off the Matterhorn and I thought we were gonna go past Harold, but they take you inside the mountain like right away.
That's so cool.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And it's very wet. Just a lot of water on the floor, I noticed.
Oh, is it musty? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it just never gets a chance to dry. Yeah. It's a huge cavern. Yeah.
What's it like in there? Are there, like, stairs? Like, what is...
So there's wood stairs. It's the equivalent of... Do you remember, like, as a kid when you made paper mache stuff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It felt like being inside a paper mache mountain.
That's funny.
Jeez.
Yeah, and it's all hollow inside, and you can kind of tell, like, okay, this is the top part where, like, the basketball court... But you can't see any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very bare. It's, like, basic wood stairs, empty concrete. I think there were boxes everywhere. Just very warehousey.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah.
And then you, like, walk down the stairs?
Yeah, you walk down the stairs to the base, and then I think you go through the mountain again and exit?
Huh.
I'm trying to remember. I just remember, yeah, walking down the stairs to the floor part.
I'm like...
To exit out.
I'm like, I need to know every step of this. Like, this mundane, like, walk off.
No, I get
it.
It's
so cool.
Yeah.
I love seeing behind the curtain.
You walk along the track, like, next to the track a little bit, and then you go into the door... And I was just the whole time was like, oh, I don't want to go. I know a lot of people wanted to go next to Harold, but I was like, I don't want to. And yeah, you just go down these like stairs and then out. And it's just a huge cavernous space.
Wow.
Wow.
That's so cool.
That sounds scary.
Yeah, that Snow White was the scariest one there.
Understandably.
That one was just, and I was the only person. Everyone was just so into it. And I was like, I just want to get off. I don't want to look around.
Yeah. I would be stressed because I don't like when anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
So I would be very nervous, but.
Lots of staples holding up stuff, too. Ugh. And there was just a ladder where we stopped. There was literally in the dark, just a ladder on the wall next to us. Like a ladder that you just take, like, not a permanent one.
Like a wood ladder?
Yeah, like one of just those metal ladders that you take and, like, go paint a house with.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Well, the end of the descent on Spaceship Earth is just black curtains held up with staples.
Yes. Yeah.
I always wonder if the old ride stuff was over there.
There it is.
To be show scenes.
It is, yeah. It's all there. The TV screens, the shattered, like, triangle shapes from Tomorrow's Child, they're all still there. They just didn't remove them.
Oh,
that scene scares me.
I was gonna say that was one of my that was one of the things that are mundane but scare me as much. Everyone knows Spaceship Earth is, like, that's my ride if it's not the Haunted Mansion, and I always say, like, I don't want to look, but I do want to look, because, like, what's behind the curtain? Is there someone behind the curtain that I can't see them but they can see me? Like, weird stuff that goes through my head only because I have anxiety and it makes me very nervous. But, like, it's so dark in there but you only have the screen that, like, is radiating light, so if you cover the screen you can see everything, and it's kind of creepy.
I need to do that next time I'm on that ride. I mean, I'll probably freak out when I do it.
Yeah. You probably will not be on that ride ever again because it's closing.
That's true.
It's very sad.
I know. Yeah, closing in what, May?
Well, the rumor is that they're going to keep it closed after the coronavirus is over.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, makes sense. But yeah. I just wonder, I feel like they're not going to change. Now it's just a tangent, but I love a good tangent.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that ride's not going to change that much.
I hope.
Yeah, I think they're just going to add a lot of projection mapping. I think they're adding, what, Moana to it?
No! Sorry.
Yeah, they're going to add, like, a character.
No,
they're adding a few characters to it.
No.
And then, yeah, because Disney, they're going to spend as little money as they have to.
No, if they put Moana in, I'll probably die.
That's the part you close your eyes.
Yeah, that's what I'm scared of. I'm going to close my eyes.
I feel like, I mean, they need to put something in that tunnel at the end because it's so long and so dark. So maybe they'll just have that stuff. Like, maybe they'll just put characters in there.
Yeah, just have them all waving to you.
Because I feel like that's, like, the end. Like, I feel like it's still going to be a journey through storytelling from, like, the primitive days to now. And it would make sense story-wise for it to end on, like, this is what Disney has done over the years.
Oh, God.
It's Captain America.
Yeah, just...
I feel Han physically Solo, attacked. Yeah.
Listen.
Wait, this is personal.
I feel like that ride needs a lot of work. I love it. I love old Epcot. I absolutely adore it. But there are so many things on it that are broken. And honestly, it's not the original way it was already.
No.
So,
but it was a great form of it. And, like, a lot of dead space is in there. and that the place, I mean, the place, the top where you see Spaceship Earth, and that can be so beautiful, and the whole end could be beautiful. I just do not want them to get rid of, like, the scenes that have been there since the beginning.
I don't think they will. I think that the most of the work they're going to do is on those end scenes, and I think they're going to just update things. Unless there are scenes that are so far gone that they need to be taken out.
Another thing that the rumors that I saw was that the, you know, the construction, they were preparing for a big project for Spaceship Earth, but since the park closures, it's going to affect everything. Everything for Epcot might be, like, reduced because the money is not there anymore.
And Bob Chapek.
Bob Chapek.
The rumor I heard was that now most of the money is being allocated. Now, this is just a rumor. Most of the money is being allocated to the track and just completely redoing the track system.
That. Which it needs. It's very bumpy.
It's like a ski lift. It's like.
Yeah. You know what's considered a roller coaster?
What?
So Disney open. I have to send you the screenshots. Disney openly says that Spaceship Earth is a roller coaster. They were like, "Happy Roller Coaster Day," and they post Spaceship Earth. It's like, it's what? Thrilling.
As long as they keep the foxy scientist, I'm happy.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's all I need.
Oh, right? People would riot.
Just she's. They just give her own ride, and we'll all be happy.
Absolutely.
Just tell us her story about how, you know, she became so foxy and so awesome,
so scientific,
so sciencey. So Spaceship Earth is on yours. Any other rides?
I have a moment in a ride, yes. And I'm gonna try to. I pulled it up on YouTube, and I don't know if it'll work. But the very first time I rode Journey into Imagination with Figment. There was, I think this is the only time on a ride I've ever jumped. So I'm going to say. I'm going to play it for you.
Works the best when it's set free.
All right. So you got Dr. Nigel Channing and Figment. So you can barely tell from what I just played, but like there's this like a screen, I guess. And then there's like a puff of smoke.
Yeah.
And then the wall comes down or whatever, or you're staring at a blank wall, and then Figment's like, imagination.
Yeah.
That smoke scared me so much, my soul left my body. I was like...
And he says, like, with a bang, and then it bangs.
It bangs.
I was terrified the first time. Because I was like, oh, this is, like, kind of a cute ride. Like, Figment. I like Figment. Like, that's cool. Totally did not expect to hear.
Like,
I was like, oh my God, something's blowing up.
Yeah, it's scary. And the last time I went on it, there was a delay. So,
so you didn't know when it was going to happen.
Yeah, I was like sitting there for like 3 extra seconds like, like in the dark. Oh my God. That is actually legitimately terrifying. And whoever says that's not is crazy.
It's such an aggressive sound. It's scarier than the explosions on Big Thunder Mountain. It's like a cousin to that, but you're like not expecting it.
Big Thunder, it's diegetic. Like it's like it's tied to the scene, but that one, it's just out of nowhere. Just bang.
It's like,
it's awful. So,
the first time I went on that ride for the first time in January, and I screamed at that part and made everyone laugh. And the strangers behind me were laughing at me because I really was not expecting it.
It's so scary.
I'm like dying. I'm sweating because I know, like, I think it's just so funny that we all are like, yes, that scares me too. It's like really scary.
I don't jump scare a lot. You know, like I'm pretty like even keeled in terms of that. I get afraid. Like I usually have more of an anxiety like / existential dread going on at all times. But in terms of like being like, ooh, like, oh, that's scary. That really got me. I can still feel the feeling in my body. Yeah. I like went cold for a second.
Your soul still knows.
Yeah, I have it imprinted on me.
And the scene after is so wonderful and so pleasant that you're just like, I wanted to take it in. I'm like, I can't even enjoy this because I'm dead now.
Yeah. I've died. R.I.P. me.
My ghost is enjoying all of this right now.
I know. It reminds me of, it's the Bug's Life show.
Oh, I haven't done that, or I never did that because I had heard that I would be scared. So.
Okay, I did it once in my life. Yeah, I did it literally once in my friggin' life. And the roaches that crawl behind you and the spiders that tickle your legs, no.
Did you ever do Honey, I Shrunk the Audience?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I loved that it with the rats. So
yes. That scared me so much as a kid. Oh, okay, God. First of all, like, who came up with that idea to put hose on the seat of a chair?
Yeah, I know.
It's obscene. And it like wiggled around and tickled your thighs or your legs. I was like,
It was that. Well, first of all, that whole thing, like, that's a big reason why Journey into Imagination got reduced was because of that ride. So I already have, like, anger against it because of that. And then it's just like, you're just, why do you have to viscerally torture me?
Yeah. I mean, I love a fictional establishment. I love an Imagination Institute, an Institute of Future Technology. I believe that they are linked. I'm like Charlie Day in the meme, you know, with the trying to connect
Pepe everything. Sosa.
Pepe Sylvia.
Sylvia.
But, yeah, I'm convinced that they're linked. Love that. But that ride was, or that show was unpleasant. Because, like, the dog sneezed on you. And I was like, that's disgusting.
The snake.
Yeah. There's so many, like, it's just torturous. Like, don't touch me.
It's very similar to the Stitch experience.
I would have, I did not want to do that ride.
So when me and my husband first went, when we were first together, the first year we were dating, he went with me and my family, and he loves Stitch. He loves Lilo and Stitch. So he was like, I want to go on this ride. And I said, no, you're going to hate that. It's not great. I still want to go on this ride. And I said, okay, we go on it. As everyone knows, it used to be Alien Encounter, and they still have the same seating. So you get trapped under these things that press on your shoulders, and then you're submit to taco burps and spit and just awful smells the whole time. And like, I only have gone on it twice. The first time with my family not knowing when it first opened, and the second time when I went with my husband when I knew what was going to happen. I will never forget that pressure of the shoulders of like that seat. It's just, like, it's scary. Like, when you have anxiety, which we all have, I think.
Yeah.
And getting trapped under that in a tight seat and
terrifying.
You can't get out.
It's so scary. No.
I don't understand, like, the attack on the senses they have to do. Like, can't they make, like, a more pleasant version where, like, it's, like, more like a Soarin' thing where it's, like, nice smells and, no, it's just like, meh, 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 meh.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Stitch has to be
gross. I guess
gross.
Kids, I mean, because, you know, based on Nickelodeon days, kids love gross stuff, so.
I think I was disturbed by that stuff even when I was a kid, because I was a Nickelodeon kid. I had a Nickelodeon alarm clock. I was all in. But even when they would do, like boogers and stuff, I didn't even want to say the word. I was, like, very upset by it. I was like, oh, God.
Did you have that alarm clock and it went like nick, 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 nick? Yeah, I had that one too.
And you could do like a rooster sound and a
you
boing.
Had, like, the little lever that you could change.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So you had mentioned earlier the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, the open room. That freaks me out for a slightly different reason. I don't like dark water.
Oh.
And I don't like the things that pop up, like the, what do you call it, the cannon fire?
Yeah.
And my friends all know, like, even when I was telling my friend Tracy about this, she was like, I was like, I'm going to talk. I was telling her about the episode. I'm like, I'm going to tell them how I always close my eyes on pirates. She's like, yep, you do always do that.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
Very, and I mean, it is, you are like, I mean, I guess it is technically threatening because you're being shot at.
Yeah. I do think that scene is a little scary for various reasons. I can get behind the dark water thing. Like, people take baths with these black bath bombs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? I tried it once and I like started panicking because I was like, I can't see my legs.
Yeah, you can't see. Yeah. It's a weird feeling. Like, dark water is like legitimately terrifying. I think it's like also like a human nature thing. Like, it's so deeply ingrained in our systems to be afraid of dark water.
The unknown.
Like,
yeah,
because the implication when water is really dark is that it's really deep. So there could be anything under there.
Yes, Jaws.
Yes.
So this kind of goes with the explosion thing on Journey into Imagination with Figment. In Alice in Wonderland, during the very Merry and Birthday scene, the explosion at the end, I feel like they've toned it down, though, over the years. Or maybe I've just gotten older. One or the other.
I couldn't say.
I get a little stressed on that ride in general, so I don't go on it that much. Even though I think it's really good, I do, like, find it to be jarring.
And 200% agree.
I don't like explosions on rides. Like, I don't have a physical problem with flashing lights, but anytime I see flashing lights, which is what they do in every Disney ride when there's an explosion, and there are, like, five Disney rides that have that in it, and I get very stressed every time. I close my eyes.
Alice is very it's like we were talking about in your episode, Toad. It's also another disorienting ride, and you're going inside one building, outside another building, like twists and turns, and someone's trying to cut your head off. Probably feel the heat from hell from Toad.
There's a lot going on.
So this we kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, too. So seeing things on rides you're not supposed to, or like or looking behind you. So even though I love these characters on, and I know you guys don't like this, right? The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, Max, I have a hard time turning around to look at Max, Buff, and Melvin because I think it creeps me out. I don't know if it's because they're supposed to be animated and they're not, like they're just mounted heads, or like I don't like the idea of like turning around on a ride and seeing something you're not supposed to. I don't know.
No, I get that. It creeps me out. It's like a weird like pit in your stomach feeling of like, ooh, am I supposed to see that? Or am I supposed to know? Like, kind of like,
and they're not supposed to be mounted heads. They're supposed to be like talking and happy, and they're dead.
What I had heard about those is that they are actually the versions from the gift shop and not from the ride. So they are just like stuffed heads. I don't know how much truth there is to that.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
But
I could see that.
Also on the record, I would believe that. I don't hate that ride. I'm just very resentful of Pooh for what he's done in the parks.
Yes.
You're like, nothing against the ride, just Pooh.
I wish we had the Tokyo version, of course, but like the ride's fine. I'm just like, do we have to lose Country Bear and Mr. Toad for this? Rude. Honestly, rude.
It took something great from each park.
Yeah. Exactly. A lot of the things that we are saying, except for when I express my opinions on Marvel and Spaceship Earth, are all time
Like, I stand by the Marvel and Spaceship Earth.
Yeah. Like, I hate Marvel so much.
I do like in Winnie the Pooh, like, when you kind of go around in circles, because I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like to walk like Winnie the Pooh. That's such a random thing to bring up. I just thought about that.
Yeah. No, it's cute. There's a lot of great aspects to Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh is so genuinely happy and emotional. And I mean, there's no reason for us to like throw shade at him, honestly, besides taking away our bears and our toad. But like all the stories and quotes that you see from Winnie the Pooh are so endearing and strong and like carry with you. And like, bizarrely, like my wedding officiant took a lot of quotes from Winnie the Pooh and like wrote a whole thing. Like our whole thing was like Winnie the Pooh and Up related, not on purpose. She wrote it, not us, and it was beautiful. And because Winnie the Pooh is so like anyone can associate any experience in their life with Winnie the Pooh, so it's always like a positive thing. It's always very happy, and if it is sad, it still has happy feelings associated with it. So it's like Winnie the Pooh is great. But I can't watch the movies because they make me cry.
So how are your feelings on the Jungle Cruise?
Oh, I love the Jungle Cruise.
I love the Jungle Cruise.
I love the Jungle Cruise, but again, it's the water kind of throws me for a loop.
Yeah.
And also
the sinking one. The sinking
ship.
Oh, boy.
And that one went down really fast. Like, that one, like, went down. It sunk.
Like, yeah.
So did either one of you, have you heard of the Disneyland 35th anniversary special with Tony Danza?
No.
Oh, I don't think so.
So in because I was trying to figure out why am I so scared of that ride and like the animals and falling into the water. And I remembered this special from when I was a kid, and I looked it up, and it's on YouTube It's a segment in the special, and it's Tony Danza's on the ride with a bunch of people, and the guests slowly get attacked by the animals and have to jump into the water, and slowly, one by one, they just get knocked into the water, and, like, one gets eaten by the crocodile, one gets attacked by a snake.
Oh my God.
The elephants, I think, like, knock their boat over. It's just – and it's not – it's funny, like, in that they're making the puns, but it's very intense.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
That sounds really stressful.
Yeah. And just the guests really just get attacked and killed by the animatronics. And Tony Danza is the only one, I think, who survives till the end. And he's just like, he makes some pun or something at the end.
Jeez. But that sounds terrifying.
Yes. I'm glad I shared this with you know, so you can fear this now with me.
I mean, I'll definitely watch it. The thing that scares me most about the Jungle Cruise and most other Disney water rides is, like, or, like, moist, wet rides. I don't know. Rides that include water or bodies of water. It's just, like, the water, I'm stressed that it has, like, Legionnaire's disease in it or something. Like, what's in that water? It's questionable.
Yeah, people definitely pour things out, spit.
People pee
other
in
chemicals.
It. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? There's a lot of mystery involved.
People have found, like, parts of dead fish because I guess birds bring it and they drop it there.
Oh, my God.
Which I don't know how that's possible because it's not that close to the ocean, but I've heard people claim that. It's just, it's a cesspool.
literally, though.
But I know they diet, so if they didn't diet, it wouldn't be that dark, but I just think, like, I think of all the stories I've heard from former skippers of, like, oh.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know, or if we are lucky to know, it kind of, like,
ruins
things. Yeah.
This is just the podcast where I just gross you two out. You're like, I'm never going back.
We're like, help.
I mean, I wouldn't like to be on that boat that sank, you know, because I'm like, oh, I don't want that water on me. Please, no.
Because usually when a boat sinks, it happens slowly. That one, I've never seen one where people can even get off before it sank.
Yeah, people were, like, standing on the edges.
And luckily... Yeah. It happened when they were close to the edge. Like, if it had happened in the hippo pool, that part, I think parts of it are 15 feet deep.
Oh, my
God. So you'd have to swim to, like, not the whole thing, but anywhere where the mechanics are. So you'd have to, like, swim around it. Like, I don't know what they would do for that one.
They must have some sort of plan. See, this is the thing. That's why I like Small Worlds, because you can see where all the exits are clearly marked. Makes me feel much better.
Well, and for the submarines, if you... evac, once you're in the show building, you're fine. But if you're in that front lagoon area, you actually have to get on a lifeboat two at a time, and they just take you over to the edge.
I don't think you'd ever catch either of us on that.
You're not putting me in that coffin. No.
Mm-hmm. I did it once because I had no idea. Yeah, I did it once because I had no idea, and I, like, passed out almost on it because I was, like, tight space, I can't breathe, it smells, people too close. I was, like, telling my husband, like, I'm going to die. I literally said, I'm going to die.
I think they keep it really humid, or if I don't know if the people make it humid, but it's just super humid in there. Ugh. And California is very dry, so it's a very, like, different feeling.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, sweating right now.
Sorry.
Like, oh my God, I can't even think.
My armpits are, like, juicing.
So, the Enchanted Tiki Room, I love the Enchanted Tiki Room, but when I was a kid, the rain scene always got, like, it just, like, I don't, because I also have ADHD, so I think it just, like, overstimulated me a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, that one, it, like, doesn't scare me now, but it's just very intense.
It is. That part is like, a little scary, but I... Like, it's scary in the way where I'm, like, oh, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, definitely.
And my favorite part, I love, you know, the birds, like, summing everything up at the end when the rain just becomes, like, a trickle. They're like, nice, everything's okay. And I'm like, it is okay.
Disney all-star voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't... Exitensio one of them or no?
Is he? I know Thurl is.
I think he's Thurl,
X is.
We're Thurl's girls.
Thurl's girls.
Yeah, we are.
He's buried near Disneyland too.
Really?
Yeah. What? And it used to be called Crystal Cathedral, and now it has a new name, and I can't remember. It's this huge. It looks like Oz. This huge church cathedral, and it's in Garden Grove, and it's pretty close to Disneyland, and he's buried there.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
We have to go.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll have to. The rain scene in the tiki room, maybe this is the right time to talk about this. I've been wondering when I should bring this up. It reminds me of the Rainforest Cafe, very much so, yeah. You know, because they would have those rainstorms like once every 15 minutes or whatever. Yeah. And as much as I love animatronics and stuff like that now, the first time I went as a kid, I sobbed the entire time. Aww. I was hysterical. I was so scared. And I was probably too old to be crying. I was probably like 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was just horrified by the thunder, and the gorillas were very scary. I was like, don't put me near the gorillas. No monkeys.
The tree.
It's very scary. I was like sobbing into my like $35 spaghetti. getting dehydrated from all the salt and tears.
The Rainforest Cafe stressed me out as a kid a lot. I didn't like the tank, the fish tank either.
I don't like it. Nope. It's all
fish
around
tanks
you.
Fish stress me
out. It was
out.
Too big.
Yeah, see, people go through those ones where they, like, go over your head, or they have hotel rooms that are, like, in fish tanks. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. No, no, no,
or
no,
that one
no,
water no. slide where you go underneath the fish tank.
Oh, I no. did that, actually. I did.
Really?
You don't really go. It's like, well, I did one in the Bahamas where you go through a shark tank.
Ooh.
And, I mean, like, you're going so fast. It's such a short slide. Like, you barely even see the sharks. And it wasn't that scary. I would be more scared in a water slide that was, like, dark.
Yeah. Those are claustrophobic. I don't enjoy those.
Yeah.
would never, ever, ever, ever do a water slide. Ever.
That's, ever. Like, the only one I've done in my adult life. I would not do another one. Again, because of cleanliness, mostly.
Yeah. As a kid, I was too scared to be in a tube for that long, because you can't leave, especially the black ones where you couldn't see.
Yeah,
I would never.
Oh, my God.
My parents would always bring me to Blizzard Beach because I loved Blizzard Beach. It was, like, my favorite place as a kid because I didn't ride rides until I was 10 because I was afraid. So I was going every year of my life, but I never went on a ride. And then, we'd go to Blizzard Beach, and I love, because I love Ice Skater, I love all of that stuff, it's super cute, I love the Lazy River. Never do a tube. I would never go on the slide. My parents would actually offer me money to go on it, like $20, go on it. No. I did it as an adult, never again, I will not.
Nope.
And now, water parks are out of the question.
At the Alani, they have two water slides, and I went on the one, against my better judgment, the one that was completely enclosed, and when I hit the water, both my top and my bottom were off.
Oh, no!
Okay. Was that too intense?
No! My what's it called? The windbreaker thing.
Oh.
Just fell because I laughed. Sorry.
I thought your chair fell over.
No! Sorry.
I was like, we're getting a dramatic reenactment right now.
I don't know. I felt it in my bones, and then the thing went down. I was like, what's happening? No.
And then your top and bottom fell off.
Yeah.
And there was this little boy who had like scuba gear on, and I couldn't figure out the whole time why he was watching the exit of that ride. And then I was like, okay, well, now I get why he was watching it.
No.
And I remember having to think, I'm like, okay, which one do I get first, my tops or my bottom?
Oh, man.
I couldn't even.
Wow. That's a hard question.
Yeah.
I did top because I figured, okay, I can stand the water. Like, it was really like bubbly, so you couldn't really see a lot. So I was like, okay, top first.
Yeah.
I think that's the right decision. But my goodness, that's horrific.
A decision no one should have to make.
Yeah, for real. I'm sure
lifeguards. Time, a one piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like lifeguards must see that like all the time at like Blizzard Beach and Lagoon or any water park.
Yeah.
A lot of people falling. Yeah. So I can't remember which one of you said your favorite ride is Splash Mountain, but that's actually on my list.
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, it's a great ride. I love the ride. There's just parts of it that like, it's very like, it's a little trippy.
Yeah.
And like, it's just something about parts, and it's also water, which that's my theme, is just water freaks me out. I wouldn't go on it till I was an adult though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a little, but it's like such great storytelling.
Yeah.
Such a great ride. But, and then, yeah, the part where the bear's butt is hanging in the crocodile is trying to get him, or alligator. Mm-hmm. Alligator.
Yeah. I haven't been on it in a few years because I do get kind of scared. I do have a Splash Mountain tattoo.
Oh.
But I do get kind of scared, especially with the Disneyland version, because it is really trippy and weird. And there's dark. Like that really tight part toward the end that's really dark. And it's got like the like very concerned woodland, the mother like bunny.
Yes.
Yeah.
The other creature. I don't remember what. It is.
She sings her dramatic, like, song.
Muskrat or something. Yeah. Yeah. It's very dramatic. And, like, that's very stressful.
Yeah.
I think the Disney World version one is, first of all, it's better, but it's, like, it is also less scary.
Mm. It's a lot more happy.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
But I do, it is a scary ride. That's why I like it so much, because it has that, like, innocence to it, but it's also, like, very ominous. So I love, like, the vultures at the end. Like, that I love. But I don't like the feeling of being enclosed. So I do get a little stressed out, like, in the darker scenes. But, yeah, I mean, I can understand that for sure.
Yeah, it's such a good ride overall, though. Like, when I went to Disney World recently, it was closed for refurbishment. So now next time I go, I have to go on that.
Yeah.
And hopefully go not when it's cold.
Have you not been on the Disney World version?
I don't think so, because I've only been to Magic Kingdom twice in my life.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely better and less scary, but, you know, it's still a little bit of a scary ride.
And the seats have more dignity. The seats in Disneyland don't have a lot of dignity.
That is absolutely true. Absolutely. They are actually seats as opposed to being thrown into, like, a garbage pail. Yeah.
Well, and I wear skirts a lot, so I'm just, like, trying to, like, in my ball of fluff, trying to climb out.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
It's rough.
So, I don't know. This one might be kind of weird, but this, I think, could go with the claustrophobia thing. I don't like any of the caves in Tom Sawyer's Island.
No. Mm-mm.
I
can't do it.
I'm going to say I have never been on Tom Sawyer Island in either park, and I really want to.
How have you not been on... In Disney World, at least.
I don't know.
I could see how, because it's something that's so easy to skip, but it is a lot of fun.
I really want to go, and I meant to do it the last time I went, but it was so cold that they were not opening it. And the crowds weren't, like, that bad at Magic Kingdom where they opened it, which made me sad because I was like, I'm going. And then I couldn't go.
Yeah. The first time I went to Disney World as an adult, I did do the caves, and I was fine, but I was like... this is a little bit scary, but now I won't do it because I know I'll be so overwhelmed, because I don't like not knowing when you're going to come out of something. Yes.
Yeah.
I went to this theme park in Oregon called the Enchanted Forest, and it's got a lot of stuff like that, which I did none of, but, you know, at least Disney is Disney, and they have, like security and things like that, and I would assume cameras and stuff. This place, I love it, but it's, you know, decrepit in many ways, and I wouldn't trust, like, not getting stuck in a very small opening. Like, I can't even.
I always judge theme parks by, like, the safety. Like, what do they have to lose? Like, Disney has a lot to lose, so they're not going to let anything bad happen. Some other parks don't have a lot to lose, so.
Yeah.
Also, that was the same for me with, like, mini golfing. Like, if there was a cave in, like, the Pirate's Cove mini golf, I would not go in. I would have someone else go in for me and see if anything is, like, gonna jump scare, or, like, in a cave, like, in the jail cells and stuff. And if I got the all clear, I would, like, hesitantly go through. But, like, I can't, like, those sorts of things freak me out.
Yeah, the one in Disneyland, I don't know if they have that in Disney World. They have one that actually has a jump scare.
Yeah.
In it, which I don't understand. And it's pretty, I mean, I've watched ride-throughs, that's as close as I'll get to it, of, like, the little head popping out. And I'm just it feels, like, very intense for Disney.
Yeah, I was surprised when I did see that, but I was also really happy because it's kind of like an homage to the mausoleum tomb thing that they were planning out many years ago. So it's like kind of
Oh, related. The underwater, or I guess it would be underwater, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be underwater. It would be completely, the catacombs would be completely under between Pirates and Haunted Mansion. And I think that's like really cool that they brought it back. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to go to Tom Sawyer Island in Disneyland. Never made it somehow. Next Aww. Time I go, well, I'm going to go.
We'll have Jean Lafitte Day.
Yeah.
Yes! I would love that. I would really love that. Jean Lafitte is like a cool like little
yeah.
thing we keep meaning to an episode on, actually.
Yeah, so many people don't know about it.
Yeah.
And it's, so I think I've talked about it before, but you point, there's just different, if you walk around New Orleans Square, there's lots of references. You'll see Lafitte everywhere.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, that's like just one of the best parts of Disneyland, like that area. So there's like so many like little nuggets hidden everywhere.
They're trying to educate you. It's edumatainment or edutainment.
Edutainment is like everything I've ever wanted.
So this one, it might freak you guys out. I don't know if this is just something that's gone through my little weird brain. So in Soarin', which we have in California Adventure, I don't. Like, the ride itself is fine. It just freaks me out being that high up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I actually can't do it anymore. And if I do it, I have to be on the lowest one mm-hmm. because I get really, really stressed out. Because
it could just all, like, I mean, I'm sure it can't just come crashing down, but I just think all the time, like, what if it just, like, fell down? What would you, like, what yeah. goes up must come down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even worry about falling as much as I get stressed, like, oh, I can't get out. I'm trapped. I cannot get out of here. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. Like, that's, you'd have to, like, climb
yeah.
down. I don't even know if you, and one time I looked to the side, big mistake.
Yeah.
yeah.
If, like, you can look at the screen or whatever, but if you look to the side and see everybody else, it's very, like, jarring
mm-hmm.
and scary, and I don't know if I can do it anymore. It's too scary for me.
It's a lot. In the takeoff and the, like, the, what do you call it, landing, like, that's even very intense, and it's just... It's just a lot. It's a lot for me.
yeah, no, it is a lot.
I felt like the Soarin' over California, especially before they replaced the screens and the projection, I had less issue with it. But like now with all the new technology and ever since I looked to the side that one time, I it's too scary for me.
yeah, the warping of the screen kind of makes it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have Soarin' over California now again at DCA. So, and yeah. whenever they do that, it gets super long lines. So you'd think they would just keep that all the time.
Yeah.
Because right? there's they no should. Warping on Taj Mahal and the Eiffel yeah. Tower.
If you've ever want to see the Eiffel Tower bent in half. Yeah.
Soarin'. Yeah. The Matrix version.
Yeah. It just looks like a banana, like a banana split.
It's like Inception or something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's too much.
I mean, yeah, Soarin', great idea, great ride, but it just the whole time I'm just a little, and maybe it is because I feel trapped, I'm just a little uneasy the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I think if you're, listen, I understand that the feet being loose is like part of selling like the flying feeling, but I think like in Japan, isn't there a floor?
No.
Oh, because in the ride concept art, your feet are not hanging in that one, but maybe they
changed it. No, your feet are hanging.
See, I think if your feet weren't hanging, it would be, like, less terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping the feet that hanging thing wasn't a thing, but your feet definitely hang there. It's the same exact ride vehicle, except for, like, it's more, like, Victorian aviation.
My final thing on my list is all the core rides at Fantasyland. So Snow White's Scary Adventure, Pinocchio's Daring Journey, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and Peter Pan.
All scary.
All of those have elements that scare me. Obviously, I've never opened my eyes past. So Snow White, we go past the first scene, close my eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I watch ride through, so I know what happens. But just, and like when that red apple, I don't know how close it gets to you, the glowing one, but it feels when your eyes are closed like it's an inch away from your face.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like you can see the red. Pinocchio, don't like the whale scene. Everything
yeah,
else is fine.
Yeah, that scares me a lot.
Yeah, it's just
the flashing lights.
The thing that bothers me about Pinocchio, oh wait, maybe it's Snow White. A lot, actually both of those rides is like the scenes when you're in houses in both of those Which one has the cuckoo clocks? Is that Pinocchio? Pinocchio. Yeah, that would make sense, right? But anyway, both of them, when you're inside the houses, the ceilings feel so low that it's just like a claustrophobic nightmare.
It's European tiny ceilings.
Yeah.
They're very tiny. Like,
get me out of here.
No. And then Mr. Toad, the Inferno scene, as we talked about in your podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I don't like the crocodile in Peter Pan.
Yeah, really? It freaks me out.
Just like, no, thank you.
Actually, I get a little freaked out. I think it's beautiful and great, but I do get a little freaked out in the star room because it's like so disorienting. Like, where am I going? I think I see another ship. I'm scared.
So do you have any other rides you'd like to add to my anxiety list?
I mean, I have an elevator phobia, so any ride that takes you in an elevator, you know, such as the Haunted Mansion, I do have trouble in the stretching room. Mm-hmm. I won't go on any other elevator, but that elevator I'll do. I just get really nervous.
No
I
tower for you.
No tower of terror ever again. No. Never again. Mm-hmm. I did it once, and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I haven't been on Rise of the Resistance yet. Spoilers. I'm about to drop spoilers. I hope nobody here cares. But there are like a few. There's at least one elevator in that ride that I'm just. Actually, that and the escape pod. I just keep trying to picture it in my mind. And I'm like, I don't know if I can handle this.
So I've gotten to go on it. So yeah, spoilers if you don't want to, you know, skip ahead like a couple minutes if you don't want to hear. So I would actually say the elevator going up is more intense than the drop.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm more scared of being, like, enclosed, though.
Well,
like,
so the drop, the part, if you actually, I looked behind me, and you actually, like, it's not quite as enclosed as you think it is, because the back part of the ride's still kind of open.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, it's, there's still, like, a wall there, but, like, It's hard to describe. Like, you can tell, like, the wall's not moving, but you're moving, but the wall's not, like, it's not as snug. It definitely feels more spacious. And the first time I went on it, I was, like, terrified, and it was actually, it's fun. It's, like, before you can even register it, it's done.
It's like Pirates, I'd imagine.
It's even less than Pirates. It's, like, 1 second. It's, like, drop, and then it's cool because, like, it catches you. Because you're in gravity, and that almost feels really nice, like getting caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the elevator where you go up by the AT-AT, that was really intense.
I don't mind the feel. Like, it seems like it's probably going to be scary, but I'm also afraid of that elevator that you get in when Kylo Ren is, like, cutting the ceiling. Like, that scares me.
That one, luckily, the room's pretty big. But, yeah, that one is. And it's not – I don't think it's really an elevator in that room, but it's – it's pretty – like, the vehicle moves like you're in an elevator, but I don't think you really are. And it's pretty big room.
I'm just like – these are the things that keep me up at night. I'm like, how – if I ever get on Rise of the Resistance, how am I going to deal with that elevator? Like, listen, I love a Kylo Ren. Hottest animatronic in the park now.
Yes.
Absolutely. 100%. Like, get it, Kylo. But – I just think about, like, being in that elevator, and I'm like, oh, boy.
So, yeah, that one, I would say it's not – I mean, that I was like that. I asked everyone I know who had gone on it, like, how intense is it? And, of course, none of them were, like, chickens or all people who would go on Tower. So I'm like, okay, that's not a good comparison. So when I actually went on it, it wasn't – it was actually – yeah, it was fun. And all – I don't think there's any room that's small. Everything feels very – and you can see the exits very clearly the whole time.
That's good.
Yeah,
see, like, that's nice. Important to
I like
me because
that.
I like a clearly marked exit.
Yes.
Like, people say, oh, I don't want to see an exit sign on a ride. That does not ruin the immersion for me. I want to see a clearly marked exit. I want to know where I'm going, how I'm getting there. Give me a map.
Yep.
I don't care.
It's like, so the scene where you're, I don't know if you've seen ride-throughs, where you pull forward and Kylo and Hux are up there and they're, like, talking down to you. To the right, you can actually see, like, a door, like, they disguise it so it looks like a spaceship, and you even see an exit sign.
Oh, nice. My God.
Yeah, so it's very, like, every room is huge. Every room, like, it's just, it feels like you're in a big spaceship, and they made it, like, so it's very, like, it's functional, but it actually, like, looks like the ship, but it's very, like, there was the only part I thought, like, oh, in the drop part, what happens if, like, it gets stuck there? But even right before the drop scene, there's, like, a very clear exit.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I get scared of like getting stuck in the escape pod.
That one, yeah. That one, it goes down, I think the whole ride is 3 stories. So that one, luckily, like, I always think of like, could a fire truck ladder get up there? And yes, it could.
It's just like quelling my anxieties, the podcast.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. If you ever need me to, because I do this to myself all the time. So if you ever need, like, I'll break it down. You're like, okay, what does this part feel like? Okay, it feels like this. It's like this. You can see an exit to your left and your right.
Yeah.
I love this. I love, like, this is the anxiety, anti-anxiety episode.
Oh, yeah. Because the first time I went on it, I couldn't even enjoy it that much because I was just so, like, and I knew what was going to happen, but I was so terrified. And then after that, I actually had fun the second and third time because it was like, oh, I know what's going to happen. Like, I don't like surprises.
No, yeah, I don't either. No, me either. I mean, I do miss the times of, like, going onto a ride for the first time and not knowing what to expect, like, the days before ride-through videos. Mm-hmm. But that was also, like, before I had anxiety, and now I can't do that. Unless it's, like, a kid dark ride. Like, maybe I can handle that. But yeah, I mean, I do miss the feeling. Like the first time I went on the Haunted Mansion, I had never seen a ride through. Same with Splash Mountain. And it was like an incredible experience. I loved it both times, even though on the Haunted Mansion, the first time, like one of the pop-up ghosts came up, even though they move so slowly, jump a little bit.
They're very scary.
They're terrifying.
They still have them in Tokyo and they scared me in the attic.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm glad that they don't have them in the attic anymore in our ones. But yeah, I don't. I always cover the bottom part of the graveyard. I block the bottom part and I just look up. It's like shield.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Oh my God.
So do we have any other rides or anything you need me to quell any anxiety on?
I think those are.
Or possibly make it worse.
I mean, I'm afraid of really everything. Yeah. So like, but most of it is for anxiety purposes. Like,
I just see it this way. We're three smart gals and we think a lot. We're critical thinkers. If you're not a critical thinker, you don't think about these things. So that's just, our brains just work faster. So that's why we have anxiety.
Yeah.
Do you know your 100%. Hogwarts house?
I'm a Ravenclaw.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're all Ravenclaws.
I'm a Ravenclaw. Technically, I get more into Slytherin sometimes, but I'm a Slytherclaw, but I'm Ravenclaw first.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah, I think I'm just too weird to be a Slytherin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a very Ravenclaw trait. I was like, oh, she's a Ravenclaw. It's like, it's just like thinking about things like, what's going to happen if I do this? Your brain just like goes forever.
Yes. You just analyze things like, and it's hard to just let go sometimes and just be in the moment because you're like, the second I let go, we're all going to die.
Yeah. It's like,
my brain will save us.
If I worry about this, it'll be better than if I just try to enjoy myself.
Because you'll know where the exits are and no one else will. So you'll be able to like lead everyone to the exits.
Yeah.
Or it's like, there's also a little bit of like, oh, if I worry about this and then something bad happens, like, you won't catch me being a fool.
No.
Like, I'm not going to enjoy myself and then just deal with it if it happens. Like, I'm going to worry about it. And then when it happens, I will be prepared for it.
Like, I'm not just going to let go.
Yeah. Sorry, Elsa.
Oh, that ride. Actually, I hadn't seen a ride through for the Frozen ride, and I knew like it was the Maelstrom. I've been on Maelstrom and I knew it went backwards at one point, but I didn't know it dropped backwards.
Oh God.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I haven't been on it since it changed over yet, and I actually haven't seen a ride through of it, but I've been on Maelstrom, which I loved. I loved Maelstrom. Oh my God.
It was one of those rides that like, even if you had anxiety as a kid, which I did, like it was fun. It was scary, but, like, not in a way where I was like, ugh, I hate this.
It's
it
just, like, fun. A little, you know, it's like Big Thunder Mountain where it's, like, it's a little bit thrilling.
It's expected,
you know?
It's
it's not too bad.
I didn't care for the troll in the water.
I like the troll. I like the trolls. I was going to say, I don't like when you're in the dark in any ride.
No.
Yeah.
Like, drop on pirates, the beginning of Big Thunder Mountain, all of that. I always close my eyes because I'm like, oh, I don't like being in the dark.
Every time I'm on the beginning of Big Thunder, I think of that scene in Goonies where she's like, Ray these!
Oh my God.
Anxiety is, yes. I think most people have it. It's something we all have to deal with, but we should be open about it because it helps to talk about it.
Yeah.
It
does. I mean,
it really does.
I've got enough for 20 people.
Yeah.
I could cut back a little.
So anyone want to share any, I can dole some out.
Yeah, if anybody wants some, please take my elevator phobia. I've got a bunch of others.
Just like categorize all of your phobias and all of your anxiety. You want this one? I'll give you this one. Trade. Yeah.
So do we have anything else, or do we cover everything?
I could go through every interaction and be like, I mean, I haven't been on Space Mountain because I'm too scared because it's dark and I don't want to feel like disoriented.
That one I used to be really freaked out on, and then I found out it's actually one of the safest roller coasters in the world, and it has an incredible like lock system, so it's basically like impossible to crash on that. I shouldn't say that, like knock on wood, but. Like, it's just, it has, like, it's one of the best, safest ride systems in the world, like, even more than Matterhorn or Big Thunder. So, after I found that out, that helped me a lot.
It's just the fear of, like, being in the dark and, like, not knowing where you're going and just, like, not being able to see anything. Like, I don't even know how much
you can see. Oh, I still think I'm going to die every time.
I just did the villains party and at the Halloween party, both, experiences at Disney World at Space Mountain. It's really just pitch black. It's so dark and it freaked me out. You know when your eyes are open but it feels like they're shut? It's that dark.
Yeah.
And it's really, I was like having a panic attack before the ride started because you have that incline before you go and, you know, paging Tom Morrow and all that stuff. And like, I was like losing it. I like asked my mom for her hand. I was like, Mom.
Just hold my hand, Mom.
She like had to put her arm back. I was like,
oh my God.
It's like that on the People Mover at some parts, like when you go to Space Mountain.
I had to close my eyes on that. See, that's why I'm afraid to go on Space Mountain, because I'm like, it's going to be too dark and then I'm going to be scared.
Well, it's not that dark normally.
And who's going to be hiding in the dark just looking at you?
No, no. Winnie the Pooh, because he floats through.
Yeah. This is going to be like a really neurotic thing, but like I'm always afraid that like, oh my God, I'm blind now.
Yeah.
So like, that's really neurotic, but that's
part of the
reason why it's so scary for me. I'm like, but because I know on Space Mountain you see stuff. Like stars and stuff, but I don't know.
Disney World one, don't you have like little sets, or is that just at the exit?
It's at the beginning. There's a set, and I'm very sad. All the sets at the end that used to be there from Horizons are gone.
Ugh. Oh.
Except for a couple.
Oh, no.
There's like two sets now.
Because I've been on that. I went on that in 2013. I didn't go on it on the most recent trip because it had like an 80-minute line. And I still have that Disneyland mentality of like, that's way too long.
Yeah, definitely.
But at Disney World, that's nothing.
Yeah, honestly, it's usually 120 minutes or 200.
Oh, jeez.
It's crazy. But I only go on it if I go on to like a Halloween party or whatever, because I don't waste my fast pass on that.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I usually go on Splash or something.
It has the Dignity less seating where you're in those little, it's the same track as Matterhorn.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're just down in your little bucket just.
Yeah. It's rough. It's not great.
The Disneyland one has, like, better seating.
Yeah.
Because you sit,
it's
like,
two
a
seats.
Normal.
Yeah. And it's two seats, and it's one track.
Yeah.
It's not toboggan style.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Maybe one day.
Don't push yourself. If it really, like, that's why I always say people are always into, like, try new things, push yourself. I'm like, if it really bothers you, don't do it. If one day you really feel strongly about it, do it. But, like, there's so many other great things to experience. Like, why give yourself that anxiety? Life is stressful enough.
I feel like I would like it as a ride. It's just the feeling of, like, being in the dark and, like, not being able to see that scares
It's very
me.
Dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they bring back the Star Wars version of it, I forgot what it's called. It's
Hyperspace Mountain.
Hyperspace Mountain. That one actually has, it's pretty lit. I don't mean like lit, like cool. I mean like there's lights. There's a lot
Yo,
of lights
fam,
in that part.
Lit. Yeah.
So that one is not quite as dark.
I was thinking about that because I was like, oh man, I should have probably gone on when they had the Star Wars one because it's mm-hmm. not, they have like a bunch of projections and things.
Yeah.
And then
and they
it
have
went
flashing
back.
Lights, which you don't like. But
oh,
they
I
have
don't
the,
like that. But yeah, is it but a lot?
A it's lot not of- a lot, but it makes, it's not quick. So it's like you can actually kind of see the track.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe, I'm sure they'll bring it back.
Oh, for sure.
Because they just do that. They'll be like, this is gone forever. And they're like, guess yep. who's back?
It's like the Main Street Parade. Like, it's never coming yeah. back. Just kidding.
We were back. Saying, like, in our Main Street Electrical Parade episode, weren't we saying, like, the it's like the Kool-Aid man just busting yeah. in. It's like, yeah. it's back.
It just always is back. And I feel like I see it everywhere I go, even when I'm not supposed to.
Every time attendance is down, they always bring that parade back. So I yeah. bet. In like a few months, they're going to bring that parade back.
I hope they bring back Paint the Night.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Paint the Night's, I think, a lot more expensive. That's the my theory but is why they don't bring back Paint the Night.
They did. They should. They should bring it back because we all need it.
Yes.
We all need it.
Disney is cheap.
This morning, yeah. I was listening to the soundtrack to Paint the Night, and I was like, what if they bring it back when they reopen Disneyland? And then I like teared up. I was like, we all really need it.
Where can everyone find you?
We're on social media at Crying on Main Street. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. On Twitter and Instagram, Street is abbreviated. And we also have a private Facebook group community called Crying on Main Street, the Mouseketeers.
It's like amazing.
Tears as in crying. Yeah, it's great. People come and post a lot of stuff, memes, videos, ride-throughs. We share tips, pictures of us as kids, things like that. It's awesome. Yeah, that's where we are. And you can find our podcast, Crying on Main Street. We're on all the places yeah. you find podcasts.
We just started Stitcher and what is the other one?
iHeartRadio.
Wait, not iHeartRadio yet. The other cast one.
Pocket Cast. We're on iTunes, Apple.
We just started on Stitcher and Pocket Cast, so you can find us there. But you can also find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iTunes.
Yeah, Pocket Podcast or whatever it's called. That one like always shows up on my list of like when I look at the analytics. I'm like, oh, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all a mystery to me.
Yeah. All that. And then you also have like, I always really admire the merch you have.
Oh, yeah.
We only have a t-shirt. So I'm like, oh, I'm so impressed by that.
We do have some merch and you can find that on our website, which is weepyhollow.com. And, you know, we have links on all our socials. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter's hard.
Yeah.
Twitter's a hard one.
Twitter's the place to go.
But also Instagram and also Facebook. And
just like, everything.
Also subscribe and leave us a review. Like, just do all the things, please.
Support.
Then after you do that, go to all of our things, do all the things too.
Yes. Yeah.
Leave a great review for 1313 Harbor, please.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't gotten a review, I think, since just December or January. So.
Oh my God. I'm going to leave a review right
oh, thank you.
Now.
Yeah.
Like one star. She interrupted too much.
No. Oh my God.
She's afraid of everything. So a special thanks to our patrons, Abby, Amy, Ashley, Danny, David, Jennifer, Lauren, Mandy, Sean, Tiffany, Tori, Valerie, Winnette, and Jenny. You can visit our website at 1313harborthepodcast.com and you can find all of our social media links on there. Please go, as we mentioned earlier, onto your favorite podcast providing service. Download us, subscribe, rate and review. We love you all. I'm speaking for them too. We love you.
Thank you for having us.
To all who come to this happy podcast, welcome.
We did it.